Please join me in prayer. O Holy Spirit of God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take each of our hearts and set them on fire with love for Thee. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Today is Pentecost, the 50th day of Easter. Penta 550. Pentecost in the Jewish tradition was originally a Jewish minor holiday called Shavuot. And Shavuot is still practiced today by our Jewish sisters and brothers. And it is a grain festival, an agricultural grain festival. And like a lot of things that Christianity has done and other religions do, is they sometimes gobble up other holidays of other religions. And so in the early days when Jews were considering this thing called the Way, which was the way of Jesus, because the word Christian had not been invented yet, the Christian church had kind of gobbled up Shavuot. So today we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. We wear red today. We have our balloons I'll talk about in just a second. This is the coming of the Holy Spirit from the tongues of fire. If you noticed in our banner there, we had the dove. When Jesus was baptized, when he came up out of the Jordan River, a dove came down on top of him from the heavens. And if you happen to stop by this week, St. Christopher's Episcopal Church in South Fort Worth, you will find 200 origami white doves suspended from the ceiling. Perhaps we'll think about doing that next year. We'll see. I'd like to ask you this morning if you would turn in your prayer book to page 15. This shows the major principal feasts of the church year. On page 15, you'll see in the left-hand column what we call the Easter cycle. Easter Day and Ascension Day, which was 10 days ago when Jesus ascended to heaven. Today, the day of Pentecost. And then next Sunday, Trinity Sunday. So today we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, which I'll talk about in just a moment. And then on the right-hand column, you'll see All Saints Day, which we celebrate on the first Sunday after November the 1st, or if November the 1st falls on a Sunday, we'll celebrate it that day. And then we have 2 days for the Christmas cycle, Christmas Day and Epiphany. Now, in the early church, the order of importance of the feast days, the three most important were Easter, Pentecost, and then Epiphany. Christmas was not up there. Nowadays, we kind of do it because Christmas has taken such an important role. We are incarnational people. It is Easter, number one, Christmas, number two, and Pentecost, number three. So this is an important holy day, and we celebrate. And we pull out all the stops. We have incense. I'm wearing this cope, which is probably going to, I need to go to the chiropractor when I get home after this. This is very, very heavy. Glad it's just once a year. So I'd like to ask you to look at your readings today also as we celebrate this. So Jesus promised his disciples that he would be with them. They would not be alone. We are not alone. We have the indwelling Spirit of God in each one of us. Thomas Merton, the great Christian mystic, said that we don't have to imitate Christ, but only animate him, because he's already in us. He's in each one of us. And that's the promise of God. We don't have to imitate him, only animate him. Today, a day when we, in our collect, we prayed, Almighty God, in this day you open the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promise of your gift of your Holy Spirit. Shed abroad this gift throughout the world by the preaching of the gospel, that it may reach to the ends of the earth. It was really great, in a way, as a kind of a microcosm of this Pentecost weekend, to watch the royal wedding yesterday. How many of you watched that? Okay, now how many of you recorded that but have not watched it yet? Oh, only one. Okay. Well, I don't want to give away Bishop Curry's sermon. He's not the Bishop of Chicago, as the press has reported several times. He is born in Chicago, but he's the presiding bishop of the United States Episcopal Church. He is a former bishop of North Carolina. In his sermon there in Windsor Castle, St. George's Chapel, his sermon was entitled The Power of Love. How many of you heard or read this sermon? The Power of Love. And if you've not heard the sermon, I would recommend you go to YouTube or Google it, because it will pop up and you can listen to it and watch it, and you can see a type of sermon that I don't think is preached very often in St. George's Chapel at Windsor Castle. The dean of St. George's Chapel, who did the first part of the service, that's probably more the type of sermon that the royal family is used to. Now, when you watch it, you can see a couple eyebrows go up from some of the royal family members, because he really did bring the spirit. And Esquire magazine said yesterday that they needed the spirit. England needs the spirit. And it was a really brilliant move, I think, on behalf of the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, to offer Bishop Curry as one of the options. It brings, because Megan is from the United States, brings an American bishop to England, bringing some of culture as well, being the first African-American head bishop of the U.S., and also the first African-American bishop of a diocese head bishop in the South, when he was ordained Bishop of North Carolina in 2001. And Pentecost is a time when we don't look at the color of skin, because it is about we are all children of God. It's a perfect weekend for that wedding. Now, I don't think Harry and Meghan picked that wedding because that weekend because of Pentecost, but it's a great, great coincidence. Bishop Curry talked about God is love and love is God. God is love and love is God. And today we think about that, and we think about what the Holy Spirit is and what that means to us when our Lord left and he gives us that Spirit. He promises that he will be with us to the end of the ages. He also tells us, even in Romans 8, which we heard Satoko read in Japanese today, that the Spirit intercedes in our weakness and intercedes with sighs too deep for words. So Bishop Curry's sermon was about a great sense of joy, which you can see in his life and his evidence and in religion, and that God is of joy. And in our Wednesday book group that we're reading, this book called Thanking and Blessing the Sacred Art, Spiritual Vitality Through Gratefulness, we are reading it every Wednesday, and you're welcome to join us from 10 to 11:30, and we're going a chapter a week and reading it and talking about it. We meet in the chapel. And the book is about living in that joy, sharing the blessings of life, sharing the thanksgivings of life. It starts with blessed beginnings, expected waiting, sacramental living, walking cheerfully, which Bishop Curry certainly is a great example of that. And in one of the chapters of expected waiting, there's a little subsection called the light within. And we could think about the light within each of us, or the Holy Spirit in each of us that Jesus promised. And from Psalm 139, it says, "Where can I escape from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I descend to Sheol, you are there too." And this means that we can never be apart from God. I want you to think about that. We can never be apart from God. And with that, I want you to turn to the baptismal service in the prayer book, if you don't mind. And on page 307, at the bottom, you'll see, after all of the readings and prayers, there is the baptism. It's 307. So the priest or bishop will say, or deacon, or in lay people can also baptize if you can't find a priest. That's certainly acceptable. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we baptize in the Trinity with water. We do back there in the font. The point I want to make is on the next page, 308. In the middle of the page, bishop or priest will take some holy oil, chrismation oil, on their thumb, and they'll say, Susan, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. They will make the sign of the cross right here on the forehead, that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit in our baptism, the way Jesus was when the Spirit descended on him. So you can never be unbaptized. Now, I heard a story the other day about a woman who was baptized four times because she wanted to make sure it took. And I don't know her or a particular circumstance, but I bet it did take after four times. I think it took after the first time. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. We are Christ's. He's in us. We are His children. We are adopted. And we can never be not His. And so with that great confidence, I can think that we can certainly have joy, maybe not to the extent for some of us that Bishop Curry has, but maybe so. Right? That all that we do is about joy and about God and about love and about freedom and about peace and about light and about redemption and about birthing that sense of Christ in us. The birthday of the church. We have these balloons. We're going to give them to kids at the end of the service. This is the birthday of the church. The birthing of the Spirit. We talk about the birthing of Christ in the incarnational season with the Virgin Mary. This is the birthing of that Spirit in us. To remind us that we don't have to be like this light where the Spirit is dormant, but that the light of Christ can be turned on and we can be reminded that this is the time when we are given that opportunity to animate Him and to live into that power of love, as Bishop Curry talks about. To recognize that all are one in Christ. Is that great hymn, there is no east, there is no west, there is no north, there is no south, all are one in Christ. And I want to share just a small reflection from this book, from the same chapter, Expectant Waiting. And what I'm about to read you came from an author in 1941 named Thomas Kelly, who wrote a book called A Testament of Devotion. So as I read this, I'd like you to maybe perhaps close your eyes or invite the Spirit in, or focus on the Spirit. Spirit's already there, but invite intentionally kind of a focus on the Spirit of God to think about what that power of love is for you, to think about what God's peace and light is for you in your own lives. Deep within us, there is an amazing inner sanctuary of the soul, a holy place, a divine center, a speaking voice to which we may continually return. Eternity is at our hearts, pressing upon our time-torn lives, warming us with reminders of an astounding destiny, calling us home unto itself. Yielding to these persuasions, gladly committing ourselves in body and soul, utterly and completely to the light within is the beginning of true life. It is a dynamic center, a creative life that presses to birth within us. It is a light within that illumines the face of God and cast new shadows and new glories upon the human face. It is a seed stirring to life if we do not choke it. It is the Shekinah of the soul, the presence in the midst. Here is the slumbering Christ stirring to be awakened, to become the soul we clothe in earthly form and action. And God is within us all. My sisters and brothers, God is in us all. God is love, and love is God. And as we are reminded of the birthing of the Spirit in us on this birthday of the church, may God give you that reminder and that strength and that courage to not only accept that for yourself unconditionally, that God loves you, but to share that with the world, to birth that out there to those who are hurting, to those who are in pain, and to do that as your ministry by the virtue of your baptism. So there is a connection between your baptism and Pentecost. May God be with you in this season of Pentecost, encourage you, guide you, strengthen you, to continue to not only love God and love your neighbor, but also to love yourself. Amen.